Blog Talk Radio.
By Bruce Wickinson, and our very own Lady Nadine is going to come and put in. Whew, I get so excited sometimes, Lord. Thank you. Going to conduct our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen.
It's so interesting because that song is actually appropriate for the book of Ephesians.
Amen. So
dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. We praise your holy name, Lord God. Lord God, you are just so awesome. The Holy Spirit moves and breathes and takes control, Lord God. And I thank you for that control, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you for allowing us, Lord God, to have the Holy Spirit, where we can rely on the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts and our minds and just to be a part of this lesson, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you, and I pray that everything that is said, everything that is done, Lord God, is pleasing unto you, Lord God, and that
yes.
we will all be able, Lord God, to apply what it is that you want us to know, Lord God, from this lesson. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. We do not take it for granted, Lord God, and we just want to bless your name, Lord God. Thank you so, so, so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay. Amen. And
amen.
The reason why I said that song was so appropriate, because the song is talking about come into the light of the Lord. You'll find peace. You'll find blessings. You'll find. And this is exactly what the book of Ephesians is for. Because Paul wrote the book of Ephesians basically to address a group of believers who are rich beyond measure in Jesus Christ, but they didn't realize it. They were yet living as beggars. And only because they were ignorant to their wealth, they didn't understand the wealth of being in Christ. And it says, since they have yet to accept their wealth, they relegated themselves to living as spiritual paupers. Paul begins to describe in the first three chapters the content of the Christian's heavenly bank account. And the content of this bank account, which is rich, is the adoption that God, the exception, the redemption, forgiveness, the wisdom, inheritance, the seal of the Holy Spirit, life, grace, citizenship, in short, every spiritual blessing we have in Christ. And this is what we as Christians need to realize, is that we walk and we are rooted in spiritual wealth when we're in Christ. And this is why Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, to let the Ephesians know, he wrote this while he was in Rome, to let them know about the wealth, their spiritual wealth. And so we are now up to the keys of Ephesians, and we were up to reading Ephesians chapter 6. In its entirety, because this is the key chapter of Ephesians. So,
okay, chapter 6.
Yeah.
Okay, let me get to that.
This is actually the last chapter. Okay. So, even though Christian is blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, spiritual warfare is still the daily experience of the Christian while in this world. So chapter 6 is the clearest advice for how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So let's read chapter 6.
Okay. Children. This is children and parents. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instructions that comes from the Lord. Amen. Slaves and masters. Slaves, obey your earthly master with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. Okay, the whole armor of God. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him, as I should. Final greetings. To bring you up to date, Tychicus will give you a full report about what I am doing and now I am getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful helper in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, ooh. Amen, and amen.
Oh, my goodness, that was welcome, beautiful.
Welcome, Barbara.
Amen.
Amen.
That was great. That was fantastic.
Yeah, that's a beautiful letter that Paul wrote.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the purpose of that was, Paul, to explain that although we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, but we're still at spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still a daily thing that we're going to deal with while we're in this world. And
amen.
He wanted us to put on our armor and be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So okay. Christ in a full important phrase in Christ, or its equivalent, appears about 35 times, more than any other New Testament book. The believer is in Christ, in the heavenly places in Christ, that's 1 and 3, chosen in him, 1 and 4, adopted through Christ, 1 and 5, in the beloved, 1 and 6, redeemed in him, 1 and 7, given an inheritance in him, that's 1 and 11, given hope in him, 1 and 12, sealed in him, 1 and 13, made alive together with Christ, 2 and 5, raised and seated with him, 2 and 6, created in Christ, that's in 2 and 10, brought near by his blood, 2 and 13, growing in Christ, 2 and 20, a partaker of the promise in Christ, that's in 3 and 6, and given access through faith in him. We find that in 3 and 12.
One second. Sister Barbara, we're on page 402.
Of what?
Talk through the Bible.
I don't have that book.
Oh, I thought you did.
But thank you. No, I don't have that book. I just have my Bible. Thank you, though.
Okay.
And so the contribution to the Bible with Ephesians, it says, unlike Galatians, which is a very personal and controversial letter, Ephesians is formal and impersonal in its style and non-controversial in the subject matter. Paul communicates only 2 facts about himself in this epistle: his imprisonment, which is in Rome, and his reason for sending Tychicus. And unlike the rest of his epistles, the benediction is in the third person. And the benediction was 6, which is the last chapter,
yes,
where
6,
it said
3 and 24,
where it says, peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruptibility. Ephesians abounds with sublime thoughts and rich vocabulary, especially in the chapters, which was 1 through 3, which we have read, where theology and worship are intertwined. Many regard it as the important, profound book of the New Testament. So we're going to now do a survey of Ephesians.
Okay.
So Paul wrote this epistle to make Christians more aware of their position in Christ and to motivate them to draw upon their spiritual sources in their daily living. Because as we said before, he felt that the Ephesians were living like hopeless, like they didn't realize the wealth of their spiritual blessing. And he felt like they were just not living up to par because they didn't know how spiritually blessed they were. And so this is why when he talks about they should walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. And that's what he told them to do. So the first half of Ephesians lists the believer's heavenly possession, which is the adoption, redemption, inheritance, power, life, grace, citizenship, and the love of Christ. There are no imperatives in chapters 1 through 3, which focuses only on divine gifts. But chapters 4 through 6 include 35 directives in the last half of Ephesians that speak of the believer's responsibility to conduct himself according to his individual calling. So Ephesians begins in heaven but concludes in the home and in all other relationships of daily life. The two divisions are the position of the Christian, which happens in chapters 1 through 3, and then the practice of the Christian, which we'll see in chapters 4 through 6. So in the position of the Christian, which is chapters 1 through 3, we see the... So it says, after a two-verse prologue in one long Greek sentence, Paul extols the triune God for the riches of the redemption. And Sister Barbara, if you can get chapter 1, verses 3 through 14.
Okay. When you're ready.
Ready.
Okay. Galatians 1.
Ephesians. We're in Ephesians.
No, Ephesians? Okay.
Yes. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 14.
All right. Thank you. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. Read. And mine starts at 1, so.
Okay.
Oh, no, actually it's 3. I'm sorry. Okay. The God of glory. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the high places of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundation, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross. We are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him, everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message, okay, this is at 13, this message is your salvation. Found yourselves home, free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us a praising and glorious life. And the word of the Lord is already blessed.
Amen.
Amen. And so it says this hymn to God's grace praises the Father for choosing us, which we just saw in the verses 1 through 3. And the Son for redeeming us, which we just saw in the chapter. And also the Spirit for sealing us, which we saw. The saving work of each divine person is to the praise of the glory of his grace.
Mm-hmm.
Before continuing, Paul offers the first of two very significant prayers. Chapter 1, verses 15 to 23 is one of the prayers that Paul offers, which is 15 to 23. Helga, can you read Paul's yes. prayer for spiritual mm-hmm. wisdom?
Okay.
15 to 23.
Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he calls his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has mm-hmm. put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with him. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 Wow.
That's the fact that Paul prayed that prayer for us, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the prayer for wisdom. So here he asks that the readers receive spiritual illumination so that they may come to perceive what is in fact true. Next, Paul describes the power of God's grace by contrasting their former condition with their present spiritual life in Christ, a salvation attained not by human work, but by divine grace. And that is in the next chapter, which I will read, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, which says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander mm-hmm. of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the heart of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loves us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead.
Mm.
It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who mm-hmm. are united with Christ, Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believe, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago.
Amen. Mm,
so this redemption includes Jews, yet also extended to those Gentiles who previously were strangers from the covenant of promise. Strangers from the covenant of promise. Why do you think Gentiles were called strangers from the covenant of promise?
Because we're not Jews.
It wasn't given to them.
Exactly. It was not given to the Gentiles. And so in Christ, the two for the first time have become members of one body. So for the first time, the two, the Jews and the Gentiles, have become members of one body. And Hilda, can you read 11 through 22?
Okay. Oneness and peace in Christ. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. Yeah, right. You were called uncircumcised heathens, hey, by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision. Even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross, when he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross. And our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Praise the Lord. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Okay, so the truth that Gentiles will become fellow heirs of the same body was formerly a mystery that has now been revealed. It used to be a mystery that has now been revealed. Sister Barbara, can you get chapter 3, verses 1 through 13?
Amen.
Okay.
But look, ain't nobody knew about this before.
When you're ready.
Ready.
The secret plan of God.
This is why I, Paul, am in jail for Christ, having taken up the cause of you outsiders, so-called. I take it that you're familiar with the part I was given in God's plan for including everybody. I got the inside story on this from God himself, as I just wrote you in brief. As you read over what I have written to you, you'll be able to see for yourself into the mystery of Christ. None of our ancestors understood this. Only in our time has it been made clear by God's Spirit through his holy apostles and prophets of his new of this new order. Excuse me. Only in this time has it been made clear by God's Spirit through his holy apostles and prophets of this new order. The mystery is that people who have never heard of God and those who have heard of him all their lives, what I've been calling outsiders and insiders, stand on the same ground before God. They get the same offer, same help, same promises in Christ Jesus. The message is accessible and welcoming to everyone across the board. To what verse you want me to read? 10?
13.
Okay. This is my life work, helping people understand and respond to this message. It came as a sheer gift to me, a real surprise, God handling all the details. When it came to presenting the message to people who had no background in God's way, I was the least qualified of all the available Christians. God saw to it that I was equipped, but you can be sure that it had nothing to do with my natural ability. And so here I am, preaching and writing about things that are way over my head, the inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ. My task is to bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all this, is in the first place. He has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along through followers of Jesus like yourselves gathered in churches. This extraordinary plan of God becomes known and talked about even among the angels. All this is proceeding along lines planned all along by God and then executed in Christ Jesus. When we trust in him, we're free to say whatever needs to be said, bold to go wherever we need to go. So don't let present trouble on your behalf
get you down, be proud. That's through 13. Amen.
Amen. This mystery was revealed to Paul. Praise God. Praise God. And so, so, but then after that, verses 14 to 21, we see Paul's second prayer, where he expresses his desire that the readers, and who are the readers?
Who are the readers?
Yes.
I would imagine those are the Gentiles.
Well, and we're readers too, right? We're reading them out too. That the readers be strengthened with the power of the Spirit and fully apprehend the love of Christ. So this is Paul's prayer. Hilda, can you read Paul's prayer and then we'll close out?
Okay.
It's 14, chapter 3, 14 through 21.
Okay. Paul's prayer for spiritual growth. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his throne, his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Hallelujah. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitively more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever and ever. Amen. I added the other F.
Beautiful.
Oh,
beautiful prayer.
Yes.
And you know something? I'm glad that this was pointed out, because I'm sure that I have read this chapter before but didn't really take close note to the fact that this was actually a prayer, you know.
Right.
And I just love it. I it's something that I can see just reading it over and over again, for my own edification, and just to know that for our own spiritual growth. It's a beautiful prayer.
It is.
Okay, so the next section is the practice of the Christian. It says that, you know, the pivotal verse of Ephesians is actually Ephesians 4:1. And let's just read the pivotal verse. And it's there, you know, it also, you know, starts with therefore. So it's like, based on that prayer, based on everything you just read, based on being empowered, you know, by the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God.
Yes.
So put all of that together, and this is what the practice of a Christian is, to walk worthy of our calling. And he draws a sharp line between the doctrinal and the practical division of this book. This is a cause and effect type of relationship between chapters 1 through 3 and then chapters 4 through 6. Because the spiritual walk of a Christian must be rooted in his spiritual wealth. You got to know who you are. You got to know who you are in Christ.
Amen.
Once you know who you are in Christ, then what?
Then you can be bold. Once you know who you are in Christ, then you can be bold.
Very bold. Without fear.
Yes. Yes. And what else?
But still being humble
and walking with him
and telling others about him.
Yes.
Yes.
That's how good he is.
Because the spiritual walk of a Christian must be rooted in his spiritual wealth, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are spiritually wealthy. And as Paul emphasizes in Romans, behavior does not determine blessings. Instead, blessings should determine behavior. What does that mean to you? Behaviors don't determine blessings. Behavior does not determine blessings. Instead, blessings should determine behavior. What does that mean to you?
As you walk, as you are a Christian, then you have to act like a Christian, walk like a Christian, behave like a Christian, be loving and compassionate and pray for people instead of, you know, that's my thing, instead of being, you know, nasty and evil to people. Because you got a lot of Christians that they're one way in church and then they're another way on the outside. Yep. I used to hear the one of the accessoride drivers. He's saying, like, I thought Christians are supposed to be kind and loving to people and courteous. Well, some of these Christians that I'd be taking to church, they are mean and nasty. And I was like, wow, what did they do to have him say that to them, to him?
Because they forget.
All because he was late, he said. But it wasn't his fault. You know, it's traffic. Sometime on Sundays, the traffic is terrible. But he was like a little, he said, see, this is why I don't go to church, because church people are hypocrites. I said, wait right there. Not all church people are hypocrites. You may run across a few, but not everybody that's a Christian go to church is a hypocrite. So don't go there. He said, some of the nasty ones make them all look bad. I was like, I ain't feeling bad because they nasty.
That's true, though.
Exactly. You
can you read that statement
right
again?
That's their mentality that all Christians are bad. No. Mm-mm. Maybe that old lady was in a bad mood that day. Who knows? But
the statement says behavior does not determine blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, blessings should determine behavior.
Okay.
Thank you. Nice. That means that the way you act does not determine that you're going to be blessed. It's because you're blessed that your behavior is going to reflect that you are a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people make excuses. They believe or they act on portions of the Bible that suit their needs. And other portions, they, you know, not so much. But the Bible is meant to be believed and followed in its entirety. Amen. And some things we don't do totally for whatever reason. But again, we're not judging one another.
Right.
Our Father is judge. Christ is going to judge us. But that makes, evangelists were saying, that makes all Christians look bad because some of them are just plain nasty. Amen.
Yep.
And they don't think anybody's watching them. You've already said, you know, you got to accept the ride to go to church. And then you come in with this stink attitude.
Exactly.
Wow. You should be more loving and more kind. Amen.
Amen.
And you can spread the word to those who don't go to church, who may, you know, be thinking about trying to go to church. But when you come with that attitude, they be like, my brother out here on the corner is nicer than you, you know,
exactly.
And he doesn't even know what the church looks like. Yeah.
And that is
so the
true.
Blessing to dictate our behavior, not our behavior dictating that we're going to get blessed.
Amen.
Right. Exactly. I agree. That's what it is, too. You know, but the other thing, too, is like what I say to people, just because somebody goes to church don't mean they're Christian. People go to church for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
People have all reasons to go to church. It doesn't. You'd be surprised how many people that are actually in church who are not saved. You know, they come because they used to go in. It becomes a ritual for them.
Right.
They come to socialize, or they come to have positions in the church. And, you know, it's like, you know, it's like what they say, the church is like a hospital. Everybody in there got something wrong with us. Okay.
That is true.
It's a place you're supposed to come to get healed.
Yeah,
you know, so you may come in broken, but you shouldn't stay that way.
You shouldn't stay that way.
Something wrong with them. And after a certain amount of time, you ought to be healed, you know?
You ought to be. Just ought to be.
You ought to be if you ain't.
That's right. Okay, but people forget that God is watching us, and other people are watching us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you profess to be a Christian, they want to see you trip. They want to see how much of a Christian. Oh, man, you heard a cussing the other day? Now you want to kick somebody behind? That's a Christian?
Right.
Not that we're trying to impress anybody else, but we're trying to be right with God. That's the thing.
Right.
Amen. Right. I'm finished.
Amen. That's what
beautiful
I'm trying to
write. Beautiful letter. Thank you.
All right, guys. We can pray out now, 7:56, and we'll continue with the practice of Christians as when we come back next week.
Okay.
God be the glory. Amen. You want to pray us out, Sister Barbara?
Precious and Heavenly Father, it's once more and again, a few of your humble servants come together to walk through the Bible. Lord God, we thank you for opening our eyes and for giving us information that you may have heard before so many times, but at this point it's highlighted and it gives us more insight into what you're saying to us. Thank you for Paul's letters, for prayers. Thank you for Evangelist Hilda and for Lady Nadine. Just thank you for the broadcast, Father God. Thank you for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers and allowing us to walk more like Christians. We know it's a battle, but the battle is not ours. battle is yours. So as long as we walk right, we treat everybody right, love everybody like we're supposed to, the way that we want to be loved, it's all right. It's going to be all right. If it's not all right, it's going to get that way. So, Lord, we thank you once more. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. Go wherever there's need, wherever there's lack, Father God, please help us with this COVID-19 situation that is on the rise. We don't even know that it's in the midst. But, Lord God, you know. So protect us. Cover us. Let it be known to others who may not know that it's on the rise and they need to be ever so careful, ever so cautious. Continue to do what we used to do. We may not be in a pandemic, but COVID-19 is still alive and kicking. So God, we thank you. Bless all the families on the line. Bless them as they come and as they go. Meet their needs, Father God. Exceed their needs, because I know that you can do abundantly and exceedingly above all that we can ask or thank. So thank you. Thank you. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Lord, you magnify your precious name and all these blessings. I ask. Forgive us of our sins. All these blessings I ask in the matchless name of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful prayer.
God bless you. More than welcome.
Sister Barbara, how did your performance go on Sunday?
Oh, my Lord, I felt like a queen. I mean, they picked me up at my door because, you know, they were trying to make it that, you know, you get there. And I'm like, well, you know, I call up. I don't have transportation. Can you, you know, provide? Let me call you back, she said. And she did.
Yes.
So I got a luxury car that picked me up. Took me to Long Island. Came back for me. And each time he was early, so I didn't have to wait and wonder. And he also, I went to a concert afterwards, so I said to Sam, that's her name, the producer, I said, well, can he, don't take me home, but can he take me by my friend's house, pick her up, and then take us to the concert? She said, sure, no problem.
Oh,
and plus, I got lunch on top of that. They gave me, they asked what I wanted the day before. I said a salad. They gave me a grilled chicken salad, a Caesar salad, which I took me all the and I finally ate yesterday, but it was good. And they're going to pay me. They didn't pay me yet. So I texted her the next day, like, okay, so what happened? But she said, yes, we'll be paid. You're doing the W-9, and when I get it, you'll get it. And so, God, they looked after me. I mean, and then I told it to someone else, and they said, well, that's how they're supposed to treat you. Yeah, but no, I don't assume nothing. They didn't have to do that. They did not have to do that. So I just thank God because he is so good. And they just treated me so well. Oh, Bobby, you look so beautiful. That was so nice. Let's do it again. How you feel? You want some water? You know, what? You were sitting in the air-conditioned car. I said, you should roll the windows down. No, we can't sit you in the car without the AC. It was so beautiful.
Wow. And you had a blessed time.
It was shot at the West Babylon Mall
in Long Island?
Outside of Long Island.
Oh, okay.
But outside of West Islip.
Oh, yeah.
So it was great. It was just beautiful. And the thing about it is I worked with her 3 years ago, and she remembered me. I mean,
oh my God, you do leave an
impression. I don't have anything.
I said you do leave an impression on people.
Absolutely.
But the movie we did then, I didn't even have any words. I was like in the background. They call it background to the extra. But she said, I remember you. You were directing and stuff. That's not what I was doing. But anyway, I don't remember it like that. But it was a beautiful experience. It really was.
Nice.
I'll let you know when it comes out.
Yes,
and let me just say this. It was it was a commercial for senior care, and it's a local commercial, I think, that will be shown in Long Island. I don't know what else, but I asked her when it's wrapped up, please let me know when I can see it, and we'll see it.
Right.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. All right, send us some pictures that you took, okay?
I can do that too, but it's just me holding some balloons.
Okay. All right, then. All right, guys.
You wanna
be blessed.
Okay.
Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Hello.
Be blessed.
Okay.
Have a good one. Good night.
Hugs and kisses and blessings. Mm-hmm.